Welcome in, kingly heart warriors from around the planet. And, well, at the time recording, this is the first episode of 2023. A happy new year to you, sir. And if you're listening in thereafter, well, whatever time of year this meets your ears and nervous system, I hope you're having a great year. Welcome to the podcast where everything we do, everything we teach, everything we communicate is communicated with the intention of putting you in the driving seat and becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. That is the name of the game. One thing I would like to lead with, you know, humility. Heroic humility is a core tenet of leadership in marriage and supporting yourself, owning. Once you own what you have not shown up in being responsible for, that's where everything transforms with that. In that guise and principle, I want to own that I did not have an episode there last week at the time recording. It's not to excuse, because I systematically knew. I actually had this awareness. And how often can it happen where it's like you have an awareness that the system is not in place and you ignore it? I ignored it. I knew that my system needed for me to have a week or two of episodes done in advance. That the inevitability happened. I got sick. It happened over the Christmas, and I got sick twice. I actually did well in a gap in between to get the Christmas episode out just before the 25th. But yeah, I fell ill again, had a really bad fever, bad cough, couldn't do a new recording. So I just want to lead with owning that, because as I say, that part of humility, everything good in my life since my own marriage breakdown breakthrough experience a few years ago, not just in my marriage, but in my business, in my parenting, in my health, etc. It's all based on just lead with humility, lead with what I have missed out my side. So I lead with that. I apologize. Like, it's a really high value of mine to show up every single week to serve you guys, so that, you know, that my system wasn't up to speed. I own that and I apologize. But let's getting on. You know, it's like onwards and upwards. And what a year 2022 was. We'll get into the meat of what this episode is about here, but I really just want to honor every single one of you potent kings, amazing husbands showing up in the arena of marriage, you know, over the last year, and indeed you've been doing it in years and decades, some of you showing up with such courage and intentionality, and especially, you know, showing up here to the podcast. I mean, it's quite high flame, the approach that is put forward here. There's many different podcasts out there. I've listened to some, and it's like, it's just not so direct. It's sort of politically correct. There's a soft approach. The approach here is definitely coming from that masculine core. You know, the masculine core grows by direct challenge. So for all of you guys, you know, repeatedly coming back and putting yourself through this experience with such direct talking and being called out on your blind spots, on your bullshit, on your excuses. I mean, I don't give you any heat that I don't give myself, my coaching clients, and that, you know, I really want to honor you for showing up and doing the work. This is not a passive ride. I always say that. I make sure that it's like as much as possible, it's like conversational, where you're forced to come in and engage and ask yourself hard, difficult questions during each episode and do the reflection and, you know, the challenge to implement. So yeah, just honoring you and really appreciating, you know, the job that you're doing out there with the best of your intentions. And hey, the name of the game here is, you know, in today's episode, I know you're going to find something of juicy, deep value to help you show up. And without any further ado, let's jump into today's topic. And it's like, stop thinking you're entitled to love in marriage. This is like a biggie. It's like the elephant in the room. I would say, you know, an unchecked blind spot belief that of entitlement as a man in marriage is the number one reason why most men sabotage the quality of their experience in marriage. And entitlement is this idea that just because you put the ring on your woman's finger, you put like you exchange vows, you did the big day, you did your sacred version of it, that it's like the job is done. That there's some sense that your woman should just by default give her best to you. Just by the fact that, you know, you got down on one knee and you proposed and you did whatever your version is and whatever your version of vows are, you're entitled to her love. You're entitled to her respect. You're entitled to, you know, a great sex life with her. You're entitled to all of that. Some guys, you know, like many challenging perspectives, you know, when it's put to you first, you can go, oh, well, I don't have that. And, you know, here's where there's a big difference between your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. And all the difficulties in your relating in marriage, but in your relating with life, all the major obstacles and difficulties come from your subconscious mind. Now, you can be really, like, you know, comfortable to the point of, yeah, I know what conscious is. I know what's subconscious. You know, I've listened to podcasts before. I know what you're talking about, Mark. I know, you know, like from a intellectual perspective, I know what that is about. Like, it's just to remind ourselves, and again, to bring a beginner's mindset to this topic. You know, subconscious is you are literally, by definition, not aware of it. It's the subconscious belief systems that are running the show. So your conscious mind could have, you know, become totally disengaged, could already have made a decision. It's like, hey, I don't have entitlement issues. I know some fucking guys out there that have entitlement issues, but I don't. My invitation is just stay in the game in this episode for a little bit longer. You know, there are certain signs and symptoms for entitlement, a subconscious belief of entitlement for you that can show up in you as a husband in your everyday marriage. And I'm going to go through, like, and it's not an exhaustive list. To be honest, it's like, you know, there could be 100 different symptoms of it. I'm going to just give sort of like a general thing, what I have seen shown up first and foremost in my own life. Why can I spot, you know, signs of entitlement from guys? Because, you know, for 12 years in marriage, I keep referring to the first 12 years of my marriage, like a sense of entitlement was running my entire marriage subconsciously. Then in deep work and seeing guys behind the scenes, coaching guys and in deep men's work, like it's sort of everywhere. So albeit it's not an exhaustive list, I do invite you to bring your fullest vulnerable humility and self-reflective humility when you're listening to this list, without any, like, you know, here's why this arena is so potent. You know, your wife is not present. This is the, you know, most guys really don't like relationship therapy, and a lot of times relationship therapy fails because it's like you're trying to become self-aware in the presence of somebody that has all of this high charge shit and conflict and patterns of dysfunctional relating together. Your wife is not present now. You don't die if on the inside of your nervous system you go, oh, yeah, there could be a truth in that point. Yeah, that is life for me. That does show up for me. You know, there's no benefit for justifying. There's no benefit for, yeah, it's showing up, but you're like, I mean, look at all the horror bullshit. And like, humility, humility, humility. When I read the list, it's just, I do invite you just to have that open-mindedness to go, okay, you know, wherever my marriage is at, I am consciously looking to find growth opportunities. You're not, the point of this list or any time in this podcast, it's not to find where you're fucking up. It's not to find where you're faulty. It's not to find where you're inadequate in your relationship. No, no, no. Nothing is broken. It's to look for growth opportunities of, ah, well, there's a sign that just I mightn't have cracked the code just yet. okay, it's a growth opportunity, let's go there. Because what lies beyond the conscious recognition of a growth opportunity is an opportunity to create a beautiful marriage. And if you're listening in, it's because, by and large, your marriage is not working to its fullest potential, or maybe for a number of you, nowhere near its fullest potential. And that's what I want for you. But that only happens when you open up to it. Some behaviors or signs of entitlement a sense of entitlement is driving your subconscious belief system in how you show up in marriage is, you know, it will be like there's an emotionally reactive 5-year-old at the driving seat. At times in conflict, and, you know, entitlement feeds conflict. It grows on conflict. There's this, do you ever find that there's a disgruntled part of you that shows up in conflict and is quite needy? And by neediness, I mean, it's like, do you ever get quite upset that you're not being seen, that you're not being heard, that your needs are not being honored and valued, and your woman should? You know, entitlement comes when a lot of the times in your mind, you have this, well, she should know better. Well, she should know this pisses me off. She should have not, you know, your entire focus is on blaming your woman for how she is not showing up. That's a real key sign of entitlement. Is this lie for you? Does this show up in your nervous system as you're engaging with your woman? Another sign of entitlement as like a subconscious paradigm that you're coming from in a relationship is you're unaware of your needs. You'll sure as hell get pissed off that your needs aren't being met and that your woman should know better. She should know that pisses you off. She should know that, you know, it's 5 minutes late, but screw that. It's like, I needed that time. She should know. It's like, she should know all your needs. But you've never consciously journaled or got coaching support or went into a retreat in solitude and consciously came up with, what are your non-negotiable needs, the inarguable needs you have as a man in relationship? You haven't done that. 99% of men will answer, no, I've never ever journaled to that level of awareness. That's entitlement. It's you feel entitled to get pissed off with your woman for not meeting your needs when you yourself haven't done the actual self-aware homework to consciously recognize what your own needs are. Most guys will answer, yeah, I've never done that depth of work. Another part of entitlement is like the ring on the finger. What the ring on the finger means from a perspective of entitlement is like, it's the job is done. I'm married. You know, I got down one day, I'm committed, I'm all in. She should know that. That should count for something for her. In my mind, you know, I'm all in. I'm committed. I wouldn't have done the whole day. I wouldn't have signed on the dotted line, you know, symbolically and literally. You know, job done. I'm married. And I show up every single day. So, I mean, by showing up every single day and paying the bills and going to work and showing up as a parent and in relationship, you know, that should be enough. The job is done type mentality. We're going to be talking about the flip side. This is not all, and it's not negative. It's actually supremely positive to start becoming aware of stuff. We're going to be doing the flip side of entitlement, you know, the second portion of this. So definitely hang around for that. It's like it will give you like a fresh map from where you can consciously come. Feed that conscious mind a new way of coming at relationship. Another symptom of a deep held belief in the subconscious mind of entitlement is expectations that you should show up as a leader. You feel they're unfair. You know, when your woman gives you feedback, you get disgruntled, resentful. You might act in the feedback, but it's like you drag your heels. You get, how often does it happen that your woman asks you to do something around the house? And like she has to remind you again and again, and eventually you get to it. There's this disgruntled inner child running the show where it's like there's a sense of entitlement. She should just not be putting and heaping these expectations on top of you. And you're resentful and resistant to her expectations, that she should just be able to give you feedback and you'd act on that. Another part of entitlement is scorekeeping. Tit for tat. You know, you're keeping score. It's like she gives out to you about this one thing and you go, oh, but like last week, sure, you did. You were guilty of the same thing. Scorekeeping. It's, you know, calling a spade a spade. It's a low-grade way of showing up and behaving in a relationship that never, ever works to bring connection. And that's a key sign of entitlement. It's not focused on connection. The focus from an entitlement perspective, the focus is on being right. You know, the underlying belief is you're entitled to the good shit by default. You don't have to earn it. So a key sign of entitlement is in conflict and in conversing with your woman, very often there's a pattern that the focus is on being right. You know, you will make any argument in your mind. You'll disengage from listening to her. And as she's speaking and she's speaking to what you have just said to her, your mind is already just backing up, building a story on the inside, in the subterfuge of your own mind. You're building a story of why she's wrong and you're right. And you can get to the end of like a really intense argument and feel energized purely because you feel you're right. She mightn't have agreed with you, but you just have a sense of being right. The focus is on being right. It's not focusing on being connected, which is an entirely different paradigm to come from. But there's a sense of entitlement, because if you're entitled to the good shit anyway, you can make her wrong explicitly. You can get actually quite hurtful. There's another thing. Do you ever get unwittingly quite hurtful in the things that you will say to your woman? And I'm not asking, like, does your woman hurt you back? Does she say hurtful things? Again, if you start justifying, you know, you being hurtful in your verbal, you know, engagements with her, if you justify that because, yeah, but she's really shitty with me and I only say it in defense, you're justifying. My question is, do you ever focus on being right to the point that you would justify, you know, saying quite hurtful things to your woman to make her wrong and you right? Again, most guys will say yes when you're being radically honest. I definitely was doing this for years. The last one I'd like to focus on is a sense of entitlement subconsciously will play out where it will show up in your daily lived experience that you will downplay your transgressions. What I mean by that is, like, when you get feedback in the moment, you know, your woman is a little bit pissed or really pissed, and you will downplay it. It'd be like, hey, are you getting that pissed because I said that thing and you felt insulted and you're getting this annoyed over that? You downplay. It's you mightn't even disagree. You might on some level go, okay, she noticed something. I've screwed up. But you'll downplay it. You're like, you can't be that irrational. And your mind starts focusing, and you might even justify it with guys in the men's group afterwards, or guys you're having a couple of beers with, and man, you would have wanted to hear it herself today. Like, I mean, she was giving me all this shit on this one point. You're downplaying your transgressions. You've gotten feedback, but you'll downplay the mistake that you made, or you'll overemphasize, you'll avoid your transgression and owning your shit, and you'll hyperemphasize her irrationality of getting so annoyed as being irrational, as being stupid. You know, does that show up in your relationship, in how you show up with your woman? My suggestion is with all of those, and as I say, just knowing statistically, you know, I've brought these reflections to guys in coaching, in men's groups, etc., etc. The vast majority of guys will definitely tick the box, a few of those boxes, where it's like, yeah, actually, I can be quite emotionally reactive. It's like, yeah, I do end up finding that there's some energizing nature of conflict, making her wrong and me right. It's like, yeah, the job done. It's like, man, why? It's like, I do all of this good shit around the house and she still gives me shit. Yeah. Scorekeeping, focusing being right and downplaying transgressions. It's not an exclusive list, but if you, in your humble, courageous state listening in, are saying yes, you know, there's some part of your nervous system acknowledging, yeah, you know, there there possibly are some signs there that, yeah, they show up as being true in my relationship to, you could be like every single fucking one on that list, that's me to a T. You know, some guys have said to me, it's like, Mark, every time that you do, I've got this feedback. I love it as feedback. You know, it's like I've multiple comments where, Mark, every single episode, it's like you jump inside my mind and go for a walk. One guy literally said that to me. How is it that I can do that? Is because I was, I self-described like so fucked up in how I was coming at relating with my woman. And at the root core of mine was like a definite sense of entitlement. And nothing positive is birthed from that sort of belief system. Hence, I'm slowing down in this episode to bring your conscious awareness down into the subconscious mind. Start becoming self-aware of, oh, if all of these signs are coming up, wow, I am actually projecting a sense of entitlement on my woman, and she's going to kick back from that. It's never going to go good. You know, and that's the thing, you know, entitlement. You know, it's important here to underline, if you're recognizing a part of, yeah, you're coming from a paradigm or a subconscious belief of entitlement in your marriage with your woman, it's not a fault, it's not a mistake, it's not something that's wrong with you. I would say it's something that is dysfunctional in the social setup. I really put it back. We have inherited belief systems and social norms and mores that, you know, strike to the very core of how society is constructed, and marriage is one of those foundational social constructs that we have inherited. But if it's not working, it's not working. This is like the masculine black and white part. If your marriage is not working to a level where you are experiencing daily bliss and joy and deep connection, and your sex life is amazing, and your woman looks at you, you know, she brags about you when you're not around, and you know, all the good shit is on the table for you, well, then your belief system is not working or operating at anywhere near its optimal state. Just let's get black and white in it. It's not your woman's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It's not anything. It's not your fault. But it just means that your belief system creates the experience you're having. And it's your belief systems about marriage, your belief systems about intimate relating that is, you know, creating the marriage situation. There's just this part that I get black and white in that. Doesn't mean you're at fault, but you do have to look and go, okay, deeper level analysis and shifting and healing is required. Sense of entitlement. You know, one thing I was coming into today's episode, I was thinking of John F. Kennedy's, there's that famous line, I hope I quote it accurately, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And like, it is such a potent idea and such a potent reflection that he was bringing forward. And so potent and empowering it is that, Jesus, dare I get political, but it's like, you know, God love him, the poor man, they shot him. He was like, you know, I get really interested with social reformers and their approaches. And I do know that this is a side shoot, but JFK, you know, John, he consciously brought it to the forefront. He was like, I've noticed that there's things in the establishment, in the way this country is being governed, and it's like all is not well behind the scenes, but I'm paraphrasing, but I'm committed to rooting that out to get this country back to its greatness, etc., etc. And I mean, with the most empowering perspectives, it doesn't tend to work around when there's unconscious forces running the show behind the scenes. He paid the ultimate price, but I just bring your awareness to it. It's like, that is the first part of that is entitlement, you know, put in words. Ask not what your country can do for you. It's like a sense of entitlement. When you relate from entitlement, it's like you should just be getting the good shit by default without having to earn it. A sense of entitlement with your country is like, it's the country's fault that your health is not right. It's the country's fault, you know, that you didn't get a good enough education system. That's why you're failing in your career. It's the country's responsibility to provide jobs. But it's like the second part is what I'm really focusing your mind on here. It's like, don't ask what you're like, let's swap country for marriage. Let's swap country for wife. Don't ask, it's like, ask not what your wife or your marriage can do for you, but what you can do for your wife or for your marriage. Start with you. What can you bring to it? This is the shift. Entitlement is always coming from, you know, why your wife, what your wife is not giving you, what your marriage is not giving you, all the freedoms that you're, that being married has taken away from you. But you're not, like, entitlement hacks the opportunity away within your nervous system of the opportunity of looking at you, looking at what you're, how you're showing up, how you're thinking about your relationship, how you're speaking in your relationship. These creative powerhouses of tools that are available to every single human being. What you think, you're thinking, you're talking, and you're taking action. Entitlement will prevent you from looking at, you know, constructively looking at what you're thinking and the role it's playing in the marriage that's showing up. How are you speaking as you relate with your woman? That's their potent creative tools, how you're speaking. I mean, if you analyze that, if every single guy here had a tape recorder of the last week in your relationship and you did an analysis in front of other guys and went, okay, well, that, you know, there'd be a lot of red faces. It'd be like, wow, well, I was not speaking in a way that was so respectful myself. You'd start seeing it, and then your actions. Entitlement doesn't look at yourself in an empowering way. The second part does. Important to get to the mechanism of why this happens. I have spoken, it goes back to childhood, unapologetically it does. If, again, entitlement is like just all these projections onto your woman, and it's coming from undealt with wounds and undealt with self-awareness, a lack of self-awareness of the potency of early childhood experiences and the effects it has in your marriage. Bear with me. This is a bit of a revision. Those of you that have been following me long term, I have spoken to this stuff before, but it bears repeating. It is that important. You know, when you go to the base attachment needs, the predominant amount of our belief system in how we relate with women, with the sacred feminine in our lives, was set down predominantly from how we learn to relate with our mothers. I wouldn't go as far as like what Freud was saying. There was a lot of like incestuous type drives and impulses. I don't really go to that level. I think it's sort of outdated. He was like a revelatory leading edge guy at the time, but I wouldn't go that far. But there are definite links with the belief system that you formed in relating with your mother and how your relating with women plays out now. That's like inarguable from psychotherapeutic perspectives, from conscious relating perspectives, coaching, you know, deep men's work, you see it playing out the whole time. And where the entitlement is birthed is, even if like wounded, you can have attachment needs, and attachment needs are your sacred needs as an infant that from the womb you need to be held. Like a baby, as a baby, you will die if your attachment needs are not met. You have needs for, you know, you have expectations, and you are, from a biological perspective, entitled to go shit mad mental, to cry your eyes out, to scream and scream and scream until your attachment needs are met. And by and large, you did that. I mean, you did not apologize as a 2-day-old if you were feeling hungry, your nappy was wet, whatever, you were tired. You screamed and screamed and screamed to get those needs met. You were biologically and psychologically feeling completely entitled to scream your head off to get your needs met, because it was a survival thing. And on many levels, the mother-son relationship, and mother-daughter as well, but speaking with you powerful men around the world, you know, your early days relating with this sacred woman in your life, at that time she's the most important woman in your life for obvious reasons, there's a definite, like, entitlement is the driving force from the child towards the mother. Your naturally and biologically entitled to be as awkward as fuck, scream your fucking head off, inflict intense displeasure within the nervous system of your mother until your needs are met. It's purely on entitlement. So it's natural, it's good, it works, it helps you survive. It's your ways of communicating. Any emotional reactivity in your nervous system, you scream, and it's up to your mother to figure out what needs are, what your needs are, and she is like biologically obliged to meet those needs and find a way. Now, where the thing falls apart is there's one of two paths. I'm going to oversimplify here, but stay with me. This will sort of, no matter what guy is listening in, this will, you know, shed some profound light for you. On one path, a lot of guys will experience wounds, and you mightn't even be aware of those wounds. I'd say the vast majority have deep trauma. It's a deep experiences of experiences you went through that you ended up attaching a meaning that is not so helpful or was not so accurate, but it was like a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 3-, 4-, 5-year-old nervous system that was attaching a meaning. You end up like with abandonment wounds, wounds of rejection, wounds of not feeling lovable. You know, if your mother was really super busy at the time, could have had other siblings, didn't have the old style ancient, you know, the whole village supporting her in meeting the family needs. You know, your dad could have been at work, so she could actually be a super heroic woman and was, but you still ended up feeling wounds, having traumatic experiences. What ends up happening is when you have unmet attachment needs with your mother, it's like your nervous system locks them in and takes them on as belief systems. And very often you will have formed subconscious belief systems, you know, that are negative against yourself. It's like, I'm not lovable, I'm not worthy. You know, like, she abandoned me, you know, when she could have put you to creche super early. And it was like before you were emotionally at the point where you could digest such an experience. Why? Because she had to get back to work or whatever, like to pay the mortgage. And there's all these human needs, but you were a developing baby, a developing nervous system. You didn't have the power to have the, you know, the self-awareness of a 40-year-old, a grounded, conscious, compassionate 40-year-old. No, you were like a 4-month-old. You were a 1, 2, 3-year-old. So you end up bringing these belief systems with you. And what ends up happening is, without deep work happening in the intervening period, you end up psychologically transferring your unmet emotional needs on your wife. It's the divine feminine. It's that female, the most important woman in your life, now is now your wife, not your mother. And all of these undealt with attachment needs from when you were younger, when you were coming exclusively from an entitlement perspective, I'm entitled to make her life hell until she meets my needs, you transfer those unmet emotional needs on your wife. But you're coming from an entitlement perspective. And this is major. Because the paradigm has in how you relate with the most important woman in your life, which is now your wife, if that paradigm does not shift from entitlement, that is going to be ruinous for your relationship. It's not your wife's role to be the mother that you never had. Never. That's not the role. Yet, this is playing out in a very real way in 99% of marriages. The other part, and I would still say that you probably have some traumas that you're just not aware of, if there's any emotional reactivity, which there is in every single guy, but you mightn't be aware of any big, obvious traumatic events growing up. You mightn't be, you know, you might have feel, oh, well, I had a great mother-son relationship, and you might still relate really wonderfully with your mother. But for this second path, without any initiation, and an initiation is a very specific, proven psychological challenge or ordeal, to a rite of passage, that when you're brought through this as a boy to become a man, it's like your nervous system is forced to break all bonds, all these, like, it's to cut the umbilical cord. A lot of you will be familiar with that type of idea. It's to vigorously, unapologetically cut the energetic and psychological umbilical cord that connects you with your mother, so that your nervous system enters into married life clean. It's fresh. You're not looking towards the feminine in your life to meet your needs. You're not feeling entitlement. You're a powerful warrior in and of yourself. You can meet your needs sort of independently. You're a self-validating being. You faced in the initiation the fear of death, the literal risk of death, and you've overcome that with conscious support of elders in the village, etc. So your nervous system has been ripped out of entitlement into, I'm ready. I'm ready for marriage. I'm ready to meet the potent role that is expected of me as, you know, a powerful man in the village. The village, I will become an elder and I will show up in radical ownership and responsibility in my fullest power. That has been stripped away from us as a society. So with no initiation, you end up continually relating with your mother. And it can be so ruinous. Does this show up in your relationship? It's another question for you. I want you to lean in energetically and like take it on board and get real with this. You know, do you ever find that in some ways your relationship with your mother is better than any, you know, any woman you've ever went out with? There's almost like, and it might be really uncomfortable to ask this, but it's like, do you ever find like you just wish your woman could be your mother? It's like, could she just show up? Because you get on that well with your mother. Another thing that can really show that, you know, there's entitlement needs is like you get your needs met from your mother and you resent that your woman, it's such a challenge for your woman to give you the respect and the love that your mother just gives to you ad hoc. And if there's ever a conflict between an opinion, a battle of opinions between your mother and your wife, you find that so horrifically uncomfortable because you don't want to upset your mother. Again, there's entitlements. When your mother meets all your attachment needs and you feel entitled, it becomes really uncomfortable, because if you have to risk, you know, having the attachment taken away from your mother by going against her opinion, a lot of times guys find that really excruciatingly uncomfortable, where they have to stand up for their wife in confrontation with the infamous mother-in-law. It speaks to entitlement. Entitlement that's alive and kicking in your nervous system. So in all of this, you know, it's like maybe theoretically, maybe you're getting the sense of, you know, how I'm describing entitlement. Maybe the words are striking home perfectly. Or maybe there's like a little bit of cognitive dissonance. The word just was not coming to me there. Excuse me about the delay, but it's like there's one of those moments like when I get tongue-tied, I just hang with it. You might be experiencing cognitive dissonance where it's like, yeah, it's just a bit upsetting what's been said. But in all the self-reflective questions I'm posing to you, if it's showing up that, yeah, actually, you know, all of those signs or some of those, there's definite distinct patterns there that are life, well, it's coming from entitlement. In all of this, there's great hope. You know, the point why I slow down to, you know, give you guys like the best available description of what the mechanism is behind it is when you become consciously aware. Again, the conscious mind is, you need the conscious mind on board to have an accurate map of the landscape inside of yourself, so you can consciously know and get, you know, the healing happens when your conscious mind gets more and more educated to the point at which it opens up, you know, feelings, it opens up memories. The more you have the humility to go, yeah, actually, that was coming. Yeah, those experiences, I did have those experiences with my mother. And yeah, those signs are showing up in my relationship with my mom. And it's like, and you start consciously going, wow, you know, during this episode or afterwards, you start noting, it's like, wow, there is a lot of entitlement, a sense of entitlement here. All of a sudden, your subconscious mind starts giving you thoughts and memories and experiences. So this is the power of this work. This is why you guys that have been listening in regularly, you are beginning to feel definite shifts in how you're approaching your woman, how you're approaching your marriage, and you're beginning to have, you know, more positive results coming your way. The important thing is like, well, what's the opposite? So if entitlement, if a hidden blind spot deep down base level belief of you're entitled to love no matter how you show up in relationship, it's like that retracing of the old baby mother relationship, I'm just entitled. I don't have to earn the right to get food. I don't have to earn the right to get those attachment needs. But if you show up in relationship like that, it's never going to work. But what's the opposite of that? So if you recognize and you're on board, you're like, okay, I want to move beyond entitlement, but like, there's no point repeatedly beating the drum of entitlement. Cool. What am I shifting to? This came forward in a podcast episode that I recorded with Kevin Oros. Keep a lookout for that. It was like an amazing episode that we recorded together this morning. And Kevin brought up this distinction. It was just in a small segment. I just felt deeply inspired to do my weekly podcast on it. But the opposite one, Kevin gave the word devotion. It's like, okay, if entitlement is one paradigm, devotion is the other. And this is the conscious mind. This is the conscious part of me that sets the challenge to you. And it's actually, it's the challenge being set by your woman to you is to stop coming from entitlement, which is that small-minded five-year-old, just like that needy part of you. And I'm not having a hit at any wounds you have or any healing you have yet to do within yourself. It's no inadequacy, but it's just this part that just is not very good at navigating marriage. This part of you that, you know, self-sabotages, gets caught in a conflict, gets caught in arguments, gets caught in this pattern of, you know, arguing just so you can feel right, irrespective of if it like destroys the form and mood in your marriage. In that moment, you just feel like you're right. You know, that's enough. Devotion is an entirely different perspective. And where there's a list, you know, of signs and symptoms and behaviors that show up when you're coming from an entitlement paradigm, I've done up a list of like the opposite. We can literally sort of reflect one on the other. Where entitlement, there's a five-year-old at the driving seat with neediness, with emotional reactivity. From a devotional perspective, there's a conscious king. You're the witnessing awareness to all your emotional risings, to your own reactivity. But you have the capacity to be self-validating in and of yourself. You seek out self-validation from powerful men in your community. You have a men's circle. You do whatever healing work is necessary that you can remain grounded no matter what emotional state your woman is at. This is why it's totally different. Devotion is you're going to be intending to feel connected with your woman irrespective of how she's showing up, which gives her the full freedom to have a bad day. It gives her the freedom to have a moment where her heart doesn't feel cracked open. Because why? Whatever's life for her, love, full love and full joy and sexual bliss is not, it's not on the menu. And she's allowed to have that experience without your projections, without your emotional reactivity attacking her on it. Devotion feeds understanding. You know, when you're coming from a devotional perspective, not entitlement, you're not upset. You're grounded in your own feet, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, physically. You know, you can hold space for whatever experience your woman is having, and you're not going to take it personal. So from there, you know, there's a natural understanding comes up within you. You don't go to default attack mode. You don't go to default blaming her, criticizing her. You don't go to default shaming. And if that comes up by default, you catch it and you become aware, and you're aware of your own shadow. You're aware of your own, if you want to say, rough shadow spots, that if you spoke to them, if you acted out in those parts, you'd be like, well, that would just bring a whole heap of argument and disconnection. And because of that sense, you can be more compassionate with your woman. Your needs are owned and expressed. From a devotional perspective, you recognize as a man. And in all of this, guys, I'm putting out, these are aspirational. But please do listen in and go, it's not like a, there again, it's not a criticism if not many of these aspirational aspects or characteristics that I'm putting forward, if you're not already embodying them, they're growth opportunities. Really, just I invite you to find parts where you're like, okay, I'm going to lock in on that. I want to bring that new part to my relationship. Why? Because your marriage will go much better. Your wife will be able to feel you, coming from this devotional aspect. Your needs are owned and expressed. It's important that for every single man in marriage to take some time. I'm not just saying that this is just like a 20-minute journaling exercise, albeit 20 minutes can reveal incredible unexpressed, unowned needs. This is a progressive process where you repeatedly find time to reflect upon and find what your non-negotiable, inarguable needs are in relationship, in life. And then from there, you can express them to your woman. But you express them in a grounded sense, in a non-argumentative sense. You're grounded, you own it, they're inarguable, they're important for you. And when you put forward, it's like meeting those needs, it's within the sacred context. You tell your woman, it's like, when I have my needs met for solitude, for example, it's like that allows me recharge my battery so I can show up more powerful from a devotional love perspective. It's like, I love you, my beautiful goddess, and I want to have my needs met so I can show up at the best of my ability as a lover, as a husband, as a leader, as a father, you know, as a man in this home with you. It's all about being conscious. The ring on the finger from a devotional love perspective, the ring on the finger, like the approach is, it's not like job done, like in the first one with from entitlement. The ring on the finger is like a symbol of, sort of to put it into, might seem mundane, but I spoke to this in another episode. It's like you're a CEO of a company and it's job day one. The ring on the finger is like, now it's go time. It's not, you haven't achieved anything. Okay, cool. You got the job. It's sacred. You showed up. You courted your woman. You made love with her. You charmed her. You put your best foot forward. And, you know, she said yes to the beautiful, sacred proposal. But it's like, from a devotional love perspective, you're really showing up to the job with an approach of, it's a beginner's mindset. It's like, this is another sacred day. But I've got to show up today and earn my right to be the CEO of this company, to be the leader of this organization. You know, a CEO, a good one, one that stays in the job, and the only time to get a new job is because they're being paid three times the money because they were that good. They know that they earn the right to be the CEO in each and every moment. And the great CEOs, the great company leaders, the great leaders of any organization, whether they have the title of CEO or not, the great leaders earn the right for people to trust them in every given moment. They show up with the humility knowing that it's like, I'm only as good as my last performance. I'm only as good as, like, I can have like 3 months of great days, but if I show up like an asshole one day, I mean, that can hack trust in this organization. So the attitude from devotional love is, you're not going to get so upset if you've shown up amazingly for a week or for a month, but you just have shown up one day and it's like, it's a shithole day for you. There's a ton of shadow coming up in your mind. You know, shit happened at work, and you take it out on your wife and kids. You just, from a devotional love perspective, you would not allow that happen and feel that you're justified in doing it. Because you know, your previous performance means nothing to your woman. Entitlement. Oh, well, I'm entitled to have a bad day because, you know, I've been a good boy for the last month. I've been doing all these cool things and yeah, I'm having a shit day today. But it's like, you know, get over it. No, a devotional love is your woman's open heart, and that by extension of your kids, their open heart can be hurt in the present moment. And in the present moment, you know, if you've lost your ground of consciousness and you're just flinging all this old style shit out, devotional love, if it happens, you'll be human on yourself, but you will self-correct immediately, apologize and make good with them. A devotional love perspective, you really aim that never happens. Because you would never just feel justified in dumping your shitty mood on your wife and your woman for, you know, because you're just having a bad day and your life situation is testing. So, you know, I'm just going to use her as a doormat. Because why? I feel entitled. You know, entitlement is this idea that, well, you know, no matter how you show up, she's going to be there tonight. She's going to be there in the morning. That's a sense of entitlement. When, you know, when you're coming from an entitlement perspective, what our minds don't really consider is it just takes one moment that we get divorce papers on our paper, on our desk. And then the entitlement is like not worth a shit. But even guys that get divorced can still feel entitled years later because it's like they still are making their wife wrong. They're like, oh, but she was such a bitch and she was the one and she went off and like, it's like she was the asshole. She was such an asshole. It's like, yeah, I wasn't perfect, but she. Blame, blame, blame. Entitlement. Devotional love. Guys, my encouragement is that if you're getting an idea, devotional love going beyond entitlement, devotional love is like you're showing up and you're entitled to nothing. This is the greatest humility. It's what I have learned in my own marriage, in guys that I'm coaching, is when you make this shift and you pay the price to show up humility. And here's the thing. Your dad, your granddad, the men before you, the men in your community, maybe none of them showed up to this level that I'm putting forward. Maybe your dad was a good guy, but if you're having major issues in your marriage, like, you know, no matter what his good intentions was, he's probably a good guy, etc., etc. The vast majority of men of the previous generation haven't modeled anything near a devotional embodied love in marriage. That's okay. It's not a fault of them. It's the social mores of the time that they inherited. But your dad probably, no matter how amazing a man he is and how much you love him, he probably is not a very good role model for how to make your marriage work. And you to yourself, you could be 50% better. You could be like a better on lots of different variables, showing up powerfully in your relationship. And that's another thing of entitlement. Guys can get really pissed off and upset because they're showing up much better than the generation of men that went before them, and they're still not getting the love and respect that they feel that they deserve. It's a new arena. There's new cultural expectations. You know, being disgruntled and feeling entitled and, you know, projecting it against the woman, against the world, you know, just feeling upset for yourself, that's entitlement. What are your thoughts? The way you're talking, thinking, talking, and taking action, the three creative tools. It's only when you hack entitlement out of your system that you'll have the humility to start analyzing all about you. Expectations, when you come from devotional love, your expectations, the expectations of your woman, that your woman has of you, like you should show up as a leader. You see that as an honor. You don't see it as being unfair. When she gives you feedback, you come from a perspective, from devotional love, you see that and you tread the meaning into every bit of feedback is her saying, hey, you're my king. You're the beautiful man I have chosen to spend my life with. But it's like, When I notice these, most of the time they're these seemingly small things, but it's like, I'm your queen. I know that the simple small thing, but that it, if it irritates me repeatedly, it's like it needs to change. And it's like, I'm giving you the feedback because I want you to take feedback on the small things, so that when I give you feedback on the big things, you've it practiced off to a T. You know how to take feedback, irrespective of your the perceived size of what I'm giving feedback on. I mean, you don't put the cap on the tube of toothpaste. If it's significant for me as your woman to give you that feedback, I want you, from a devotional love perspective, to honor the importance and significance it has for me with humility and go, hey, honey, it's important to you, so it's important to me. I will keep putting the tube, you know, the cap back and the toothpaste. I'd put the toilet seat down. If it really irritates you that much, my lack of punctuality at times is like, I will quadruple down, because if it's important to you, it's important to me. That's devotional love. You would never justifiably create a pattern or maintain a pattern that knocks your woman out. Yes, she can have her wounds. She can be like quite reactive, arguably overly reactive. But it's like, it still doesn't invalidate, you know, what she's seeing. And if she's seeing something there, you course correct, you get on top of it, and your life and marriage is way more harmonious as a result. And all the trust and love in the world, when you honor her feedback every single time, she will flood you with love, flood you with appreciation. All the good shit that you feel entitled to, you will get it, but you'll get it because you're finally earning it. This is the part of this entire episode. It's probably like a threaded part in all of the episodes here. You might be, if you guys that are listening in, you might be getting the golden thread. It's like, marriage is infinitely easier than we've been made believe. Why? Because we've been made believe we're just entitled by default. It does not work. It's disrespectful to your woman. It's ultimately disrespectful to yourself. It's disrespectful to your marriage. It's just, you end up leaving a legacy of bullshit relating to your kids to come after, to model the same and have a fucking dysfunctional relationship by themselves. So like, from every single given aspect, it's just not what you would ever consciously invite into your life. The other perspective is like, you know, it's just, you've got to earn the right to receive the best from your woman. A woman that loves herself, that's, you know, a queen, the goddess part of her. You know, one of the greatest gifts a woman has in relationship, I would argue to the point, I was reading John Wineland's new book, From the Core, and it's like, it's part of the feminine pole in a relationship, predominantly will be within the woman. But part of that, like a conscious responsibility she has, is to give feedback on a man's presence or lack of. It's her responsibility from a female perspective. It's like they've that's part of their role, to create a deeply sexually polarized relationship long term. That's part of her role. So it's devotional love from you as the masculine core, as the masculine pole in a relationship. Devotional love welcomes, invites all the feedback in the world, because you want to grow into love. You want to grow into your deepest presence ever embodied by you. So, you know, from there, your woman looks at you and she naturally is heart open, because she knows how you're showing up, and showing up with devotional love and embodied, taking extreme ownership of what you're responsible for in relationship. The other parts, you know, devotion, love, is appreciation. There's no scorekeeping. You're just, by your natural default, you train your mind to appreciate your woman, to appreciate all the beautiful things about her, and in extend that appreciation to her healing element, to her human sides, where her sort of yet dealt with rough spots, or the appreciation of, oh man, she's just like a fiery, irrational, unpredictable, unboxable feminine embodiment of love. It's like it's too hot to handle at times, but you learn to appreciate, you know, how she shows up. The focus is on being connected, not being right. From a devotional love perspective, I encourage you to really look at this. Being right is not the prize. No matter what dopamine, small dopamine kicks you can get in the inside going, oh, well, yeah, but I'm right. You know, as you go away pissed off, you know, you bring the dog for a walk, but you're there, hey, she did this and I said that, but I was right. And look, she's like totally irrational, whore bullshit, blah, 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 blah. That's never the prize. The prize from devotional love is focusing on being connected. You might actually have a valid perspective that on a relative, from a relative point of view, you might be right in a situation. Maybe she's just been totally outlandishly irrational. Maybe she's just down wrong. Maybe in that moment, like she is just guided completely by her wounds. Whatever, you might even be right. But from a devotional love perspective, your focus is not on being right. Your focus is on being connected. So you will never feed this connection because you're feeling right and you make her wrong. If your mind is like, oh, she's just, her perspective is like incomplete at this point. She sort of believes she's right, but you will focus on creating connection in the moment. You'll go beyond, you'll be bigger than the topic, what's being said at the moment. You will be bigger and you will go over and you'll dance with her. You'll go over and put a hand on her shoulder and let her know you're there for her. You're not going to abandon her, no matter what the verbal, where the conversation is going verbally. You're like, I'm here, honey. Your focus is on being connected. Devotional love. You never see the prize of just being right and making her wrong, ever. And the last one was honors all feedback that has already been mentioned. Slowing down, you know, this is deeply transformative information. It's my absolute expectation that if you have listened to this the whole way through, and I honor you for doing that. That's you intentionally placing your nervous system and your mind in front of information, you know, and letting it marinate your nervous system. That's incredible commitment to your marriage. That's incredible commitment to your woman. That's you listening to the end of this, by the way. I want to reflect this back. That's a true, inarguable embodiment of devotional love. The guys that were too ruffled by the idea of their, you know, the suggestion that they're being driven by a belief system of entitlement, they stopped listening after 6 or 7 minutes. If you are still listening at this point, I honor every single cell in your nervous system and I honor your intentionality, because it's pure devotional love. You listening in intently the whole way through, and you know, there's reflective parts of this podcast process, you paying the price to go through that, listening the whole way through, man, that's devotional love if ever there was. I honor you. It does not matter where your marriage is at this point. It doesn't matter the difficulties or the, you know, your awareness of certain dysfunctional patterns. That does not matter. What matters is how you're showing up now. And showing up with that devotional love, with the humility to stay in the game and to listen, you know, repeatedly to what's being put forward on a weekly basis here, it will change your nervous system. It will slowly but surely, it might be a quantum leap some weeks. It will be, you know, maybe imperceptible, but over the weeks, after a few months, you'd be like, wow, like how I'm showing up. You mightn't even be able to put your finger on it, but your wife will be more open around you. She'd be safer around you. You will find that more of these characteristics that I speak to, you'll just be embodying them. You'll be softer and safer to be around. You won't be as harsh emotionally. You'll have, your mind will develop a capacity to see your woman's perspective from a more human, understanding, compassionate perspective. And all good shit comes from there. And why should it not? Because if you're showing up in marriage, you deserve to have an amazing married life experience with deep intimacy and your woman looking at you like you're the fucking king in her kingdom, in her life. She wants to be feeling that around you. You deserve to have her looking at you and being lit up. This is the whole point and perspective of every single thing that we do here at Be the Husband She Brags About podcast, is to transform you, to get you red hot, on fire, consciously being the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. With that coming into landing, I'm feeling pumped, I'm feeling the energy, feeling love and appreciation for every one of you amazing kings showing up and listening in. So much appreciation and love for you guys. Go have an amazing kingly day, and leaving as always with better husbands today, better world tomorrow. And if you've listened in this long here at the very end, I want to remind you, if you like the sound of becoming the marriage transforming force in your relationship, then the new Be the Husband She Brags About marriage transformation program is definitely for you. Within this program, you will learn to master the Be the Husband She Brags About marriage mastery system, a proven system that will skyrocket you to be the transformative force in your relationship. That comes with direct coaching from me, high accountability from other marriage transforming heroes like you around the planet. It's based on three simple steps. Number one, you hack out what is not working in your marriage. Number two, you implement a system that's proven to work. And number three, you live your have it all, happily ever after marriage, waltzing off into the sunset with your beautiful queen, with your amazing family, to live happily ever after. If you feel that this is something, an experience of transformation in your marriage you'd like to invite into your life, implement now. I invite you, nay, I challenge you, to sign up to the email list at kingsoffreedom.me. The link is in the podcast episode description. You'll hear all the information about the Marriage Transformation Program. And you will also get immediately the 15 Simple Habits to Be the Husband She Brags About ebook. That is just such a marriage transformative tool in and of itself.